The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. It is NFL Thursday. A game is just a few hours away. Well, we missed you on Thanksgiving, and we were giving thanks for Kevin Smith. Well, ooh, that didn't go so well. There were some NFL families, the Harbaughs, the Mannings, the Ryans. Which one would you rather hang out with? Fred Jackson is out. C.J. Spiller is in, and good. I liked his blocking. I'll tell you why that matters. Johnny White from Buffalo. Tashard Choice, can he resurface? Evan Royster on a roster. Roy Helu, I told you so. And Dan told you so at the beginning of the year, so don't let me take the credit. Matt Flynn, the backup quarterback in Green Bay, will be starting somewhere next year, so pick him up in keeper leagues like we did in the Half-Ax League. Torrey Smith, another Half-Ax acquisition, now the number one receiver in Baltimore. We'll see if he can get consistency. Clearly, no doubt about his talent. Tony Romo, Tim Tebow, and Elway. The one guy who can break Elway's image in Denver is Tim Tebow. How dare thee criticize the anointed one. Charles Woodson playing big on Thanksgiving. Michigan beating Ohio. It's about time. And now Urban Meyer in town to wreck that streak. Leinart is down. Vic is down. Palco, he'll be down soon. Kevin Cobb coming back. Jack Del Rio is out. It's about time. I've been calling for it for 3 years. Jason Hill cut. San Diego stinks. Matthews is good. V-Jax is back to being just one of the masses. Play anyone against the Rams, Panthers, or Cardinals. We'll talk about playoff time in your league. Injury reports and the famed interrogation game. Who to sit? Who to start? Tim Tebow chugging along. Chris Johnson, an anomaly. Can he do it again? It's crunch time. It's game day. Fantasy football Thursday night action. The Eagles and Seahawks just a few hours away. And FI Radio back for another Thursday to help you manage your team. So call us. Ask us about your team. 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. And if you call now, you get Dan Rose.
Yes.
What up, Denny?
Oh my God, this is like Christmas early. This is my favorite time of the year.
It's just all football, all the time, all crunch time, all leagues. Everything's in disarray and in perfect order at the same time.
It is. It is wonderful. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, my friend?
You know, we weren't on Thanksgiving. We had the repeat. That's what happens on Thanksgiving Thursdays. Maybe next year we'll try to do an early Thanksgiving special on Wednesday or something. See if the station will let us do that.
Yeah.
That's assuming there is a next year.
There will be football, though.
There will be football. We just don't know if we'll be around. But first, we do need to talk about Thanksgiving, like you said. I mean, Thanksgiving was awesome. How was yours? Were you just joking with me, or did you really go to a shelter?
I was joking with you.
So you didn't even go to handout food?
No, I've done that. I do stuff with
officers. Don't excuse yourself, just because you didn't do it. You don't have to feel bad. I didn't do it either.
No, I know, but it is.
I was even worse, Dan. Erica wanted to take a bunch of, make 20 care packages.
Right.
And take them to this, like, shelter or drive around town and look for homeless people and hand them a bag. And I said, you know what, sweetie, that is the nicest, most wonderful thing. But the problem is if you do that, we're both going to have to eat out of a brown bag for the next 30 days.
She quit real quick.
You know, we'll just go on. We'll move on.
Listen, we did give a few care packages to the three or four homeless dudes that I walk by on a daily basis and say hello to. Yeah. So we made a few for them. And that was, I think that was, you know, charity has to be limited to what you can do. You can't do what you can't do. That's the bottom line.
Exactly, exactly.
I guess that makes sense. So anyway, Thanksgiving for me, Dan, was awesome. Just, how was yours first? Let's talk about you first. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. It's the new year. I'm trying to listen more and talk less.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What'd you do? Like,
that'll be done by the end of the hour. Anyway.
It's already over.
Good. Mine was good. It's fun having to work on Thanksgiving in a way.
Yeah, did you see the military kid?
No, I did not see him. He was with his mother this weekend.
He was, okay. Now, was that a nice message you put out on Facebook, like a birthday message or something to her?
Yes.
What? Can you stop doing that?
No,
I
still love her.
Being so lovely and wonderful to your ex-wife who has hurt you again and again?
She is the most rockin' woman I know, and I will love her till the day I die. So, you know. She's got to get used to those little messages. Everybody.
I admire that you still feel that way. I just don't see how you could. I could never get over something that way. I'd have to, like, you know, kill her off in my own head.
Yeah, it's very amicable. You know, it's just one of the, after 20, I've known her 30 years, so, you know.
All right, well, I guess I'm a little jealous of that. Well, let me tell you that I am thankful for my lovely wife, my out-of-my-league lovely wife.
I am thankful for your lovely wife, too.
I know, she's great in photographs.
Oh,
you should see the wedding photos, too. She looks gorgeous in every one. It's just a matter of how stupid I look. Thankful for my wife, thankful for my kids, and the NFL. That's what I keep saying. I am really thankful for the NFL. My life really does revolve to a great extent, especially during football season, around the NFL, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, no.
I mean,
that's what I was saying. This is, I mean, all those years before I got involved in Fantasy Insights, it was a pain in the butt. You know, it's like, well, I have to watch football. I have to watch football. It's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. But now that I'm involved in Fantasy Insights, it's my job. I have to watch
football. Fantasy Insights could lose money every year, and I wouldn't care as long as it allowed me to continue to make the ability to justify that I have to watch football for business.
Yeah. Oh, it's worth worth all the pain and torture you put me through, you ass clown.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you could call me that exactly. Now, speaking of ass clown, on Thanksgiving, now it was awesome, okay? It's all football and all food. And the greatest thing what I've learned about my lovely wife is the number one thing she wants me to do for her when she is cooking is to just leave her alone.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she just wants me out of the kitchen, watching football, drinking beer, doing anything but cooking in her domain. So I football all nonstop, all day Thanksgiving, and finally we get over, right in between the late games, we get over to her, you know, sister's house, and we're going to do the whole family thing. Great spread. Dinner finishes up just around the time the ball game starts, because we did it early. Watching the ball game, and I have Frank Gore in one of my leagues, and he was just absolutely dreadful, so that sucked.
Yeah.
But we then, of course, went across the street to the compadre's house, and that's where we drink until all hours.
I knew this was coming.
Now, because I'm not driving home, I'm staying over for the night.
Oh.
I am able to drink a little more than usual, especially because my kids aren't around. I can actually really drink, right?
Right.
Well, so 7-8 tequila shots later, after waking up a little bit groggy and disoriented, I just woke up to pee. It's like 7:30 in the morning. I wake up, I go to pee.
Right.
As I walk out, I smell bacon, and I hear it sizzling, and I can smell the aroma wafting up. And so, you know, I go in, I pee, I come out, I'm going to rock back into the room, and I'm thinking, you know, nothing like fresh bacon. So I walk downstairs, and it was like a cartoon of perfection. No sooner than 3 seconds after I sit down at the island, the kitchen counter island,
right,
does her mother have in front of me orange juice, water, coffee, a little ham and egg and cheese omelet with tortilla on the side, and a huge bowl of the most delicious homemade, authentic Mexican pozole, you can imagine, Dan.
Oh,
God, am I in love with that woman. And I'm in love with my wife, too. I have to tell you, I told Erica a long time ago, she doesn't know this, I told her brother-in-law, I said, listen, I'm marrying her just for her mom, just for the mom cooking.
I don't care. It is nice when you get along with your mother-in-law.
Oh, let me tell you something. If I came down after drinking till 3 a.m., if I came down in my mom's house downstairs with groggy eyes at 7:30 in the morning, she said, what the hell are you up so late for? What were you doing?
Look at you.
Yeah, I would just get drunk. You're 42 years old. What are you doing?
Anyway.
Going shopping.
Oh, God.
Listen, I want to talk about one thing, you know, because this is very interesting to me. I, you know, like I said, what I'm thankful for. But I want to talk about what really I did think was so cool, which was the Harbaugh thing. And, of course, I'm partial to Jim because he was the Michigan quarterback, and I went to Michigan. But I just loved seeing that whole thing, and it really was a huge thing to have two head coaches from the same family. And it got me to thinking, you know, what family would you rather hang out at Thanksgiving with? The Harbaughs? The Mannings?
Yes.
Or the Ryans, you know,
Buddy
Ryans and Rob.
Ryans for sure, right?
Me too.
Well, I don't know. Is Buddy going to be there?
Probably different than yours. Why do you want to hang out with the Ryans?
Buddy's going to be there. I don't want to hang out with the Ryans. But if it's just Rex and Rob, oh, yeah, I'm at the Ryans.
But no, Buddy's got to be there.
Oh,
are you kidding me? You wouldn't want to spend time with Buddy Ryan?
No,
redefined defense in the NFL. He's one of the NFL geniuses of all time. Say what you will about him and his craziness. Yeah, he also has two offspring that are doing pretty good. This guy knows football and rewrote the rules. I'd love to spend time and hear some of his war stories from back in the day before there was internet.
Nah, but all he'd do is sit there and, you know, talk bad about the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Giants. You couldn't get him to talk about anything football.
So, what's wrong with that? I think the thing about the Ryans, see, my reason for wanting to go to the Ryans is totally different than yours. Looking at the size of those guys, I have to believe the food is amazing. Thanksgiving at the Ryans' house would have to be the most delicious feast of gluttony. It would have to be very much, I mean, I every year at Thanksgiving I do the same thing. I eat too much to where I can't breathe, and then I go into a food coma and watch football till I fall asleep.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're at the Manning's house, you're going to be out in the backyard in a pickup football game, so that would be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool to play pickup with the Mannings, although I heard the brother who had the injury is the best one of all of them. I think the Manning house would be a little too boring. I think the Harbaugh house would be a little too competitive. I think the Ryan house would have the best food and the greatest comedy.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to Ryan. I hear you're on the line. Who are you going to spend Thanksgiving with, the Ryans, the Mannings, or the Harbaughs?
Called in to defend the dish mom, stay up till 3 in the morning, come down hungover for breakfast comment. Because that was dead on. That was exactly what it sounded like.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you guys up all night? Go back to bed. Don't you have a life? Go back to bed. Why are you up so early? You want me to make you breakfast? Make your own breakfast.
Yeah, my mom is probably one of the coolest moms ever, and growing up, she was definitely like the MILF mom that everybody wanted to come to my house.
Yeah.
And she was so cool, but when she got her temper going and would start going, oh my God, that's exactly what she stands for.
Let me tell you something. When we stayed up till 4 in the morning and then woke her up at 7 to make us breakfast, that's exactly what she sounded like.
Yeah, when we would play Nerf hoop in my bedroom right above her where she would watch TV, so you'd have Kevin and I jumping around and running and slamming up and down, like, you know, you can hear everything when somebody jumps on the floor above you, how loud it is.
Oh, and the stench that came out of that room when we called timeout to write down the statistics.
Who was you? You were Iowa usually, right?
I was always Iowa.
And who was the good shooter? Steve Carfino?
Steve Carfino and Bobby Hanson.
Yeah, Bobby Hanson. And then from Michigan, that was the Tarpley days, right?
Greg Stokes and Michael Payne.
Oh, yeah, you had Greg Stokes, and I had Tarpley and Antoine Joubert and Gary Grant.
Yeah, you always won.
Now, of course, Dan, you realize when we say we had them, this was us one-on-one throwing a pass to one side of the room saying, Antoine Joubert to Gary Grant.
We would pass the ball off the wall to each other.
That was right about when I wrote the line that Roy Tarpley bitched left a hoe with an iron.
There you go.
Tarpley. What a
Brad
tragedy.
Davis was crunched.
From Roy Tarpley and the Drag of Society to the guy we're going to spend about a minute and a half on, my favorite thing that happened over the Thanksgiving holiday was that John Elway was vilified in Denver for criticizing Tim Tebow. I think that is fantastic. Your thoughts on this Tebow guy and the Tebow mania, Kev?
I think it's going to be an ongoing thing. I mean, it's not like Elway has come around.
Oh, no, he hasn't. And Dan, I mean, that's the thing. You can see the GM clearly, like, saying, hey, we're going to take a wait and see. But have you seen it? This is really amazing. Tim Tebow is now more of a story than Cam Newton. You think so, Dan?
A story? Yes. I think the story's got another 5 weeks to go, and then that'll be it.
Okay, so you're of the opinion that this is the Tebow year, he's going to ride it, and then in the off season, what usually happens to one-year wonders is going to happen. All the defensive coordinators are going to review all the film they need to, and then pretty much just like the Wildcat, Tebow will go the way of the dinosaurs.
I pray. I really, truly pray that he keeps this going and gets Denver into the playoffs, because I am putting all my money on whoever they play in the playoffs.
Okay, are you, while you're praying, are you Tebowing down on a knee with the hand up there? I tried to Tebow on the challenge last week. They won't let me do it. Listen, guys, we got 30 seconds till the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more Tebow. We'll talk a little bit of the JFL, Kev, you and I, and then we will get right into the interrogation game and let people know who they need to sit, who they need to start. It's Matt's Musical Stylings taking us to the break on the Fantasy Insights Radio Hour.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Well, it's always nice when I send out the script and I get the trail of things that are going. Smitty is going to be here eventually. Aquaviva says he's stuck. He can't make it, but the Giants suck. And Michelle is in New York City shooting her first feature, Me, You, $5, starring Angela Sarafian from the next Twilight Saga. Who's Angela Sarafian? I bet she's one of those egotastic hotties. I'm going to search her right now.
Guarantee you she's hot.
Okay, so we have over-under on if she's a 7 or higher.
Over.
Oh, she's in Twilight? She's an over.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's a picture right here. If you just type in her name, there's a picture of her sucking on a lollipop.
Over.
She's cute. Oh, she's cute.
But anyway.
Maxim. She looks a little bit like Michelle Trachtenberg, a mix between Michelle Trachtenberg and maybe Miranda Kerr. She's
over.
In between, she's
over.
In between the level of hotness of those two.
All right. Whew.
Sort of a hybrid face.
Over.
I'll have to look at Egotastic and see if there's any nudity. I'll do that at the next break. Anyway, Kev, I want to talk to you a little bit about guys about the JFL. A few weeks ago in our big league, this is the league Kevin and I are in, and no matter how many other leagues I'm in, this is the only league I care about. I'd rather go 0-5 in every other league and win this one. Now, a few weeks ago, I was sitting 3-6, devastated by injuries, looking horrible, and I made a big trade. I traded Romo and Helu in the keeper league for Calvin Johnson and Benson, making the decision I was going to go with Tebow because I was strong at running back and I needed a receiver.
This entire deal hinged on Tebow.
Yeah, that I,
you
I
were
went I bet
to
on
roll
Tebow.
The dice with Tebow.
Right. That was
which
my big
at
thing.
The time, I was going to told you it was a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that Tebow and Calvin Johnson were going to score more than Romo and Jerome Simpson.
And I didn't Oh, Jerome Simpson.
Or somebody like that. Nate Washington.
All right.
You know. You discouraged me. You told me not to do the deal. Now,
well, no, my big point in discouraging you was I thought you were too far back. Even if everything worked out, I was like, you're too far back to make a move.
Now, since I made the trade, I'm 3-0, pulling me to 6-6. But Kevin, guess what? You were right. I still need to win out completely just to even be an eater instead of a payer for dinner.
Right,
and that's not even guaranteed.
I think that was my point, that even if everything went right for you, it wasn't a sure thing.
Yeah, and you're right. But here's where I am now. If somehow I can win this week, and Jimmy, the sagacious Jew, who will join us later today probably.
Oh, do we get a double shot of Jimmy?
Yeah, I think he's going to come in.
Unbelievable.
So if I somehow can beat his son this week, and he loses, then in week 14 it sets up a showdown where he and I are playing to go to the playoffs. And honestly, if I lose that game, I will pay for dinner anyway. So if I lose, I'm paying for dinner. Even if I win out, I may pay for dinner. And it's possible that I could end up winning out and going to the playoffs. So but I'm definitely eliminated with the loss. That's all I know. We've got to do what we've been doing, taking it one game at a time. And I got to hope for Chris Johnson. He's my wild card. I got to hope that he stays big. But I got to tell you something. After seeing what's going on, he was a good keeper. Whoever, you know, Mag's got a good deal on that trade.
Yeah, but, you know, the truth is, of the 15 years that this league has been around, I don't remember a year where we've ever had so much parity, where everybody is sitting there at 7-5 and 6-6, and everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah, when, because there's only two really awful teams.
Go home.
Yeah, there's two really awful teams, one bad team.
And one great team.
Yeah, and one great team, and then everybody
and
else.
The other eight of us are just very mediocre.
Of those other eight teams, all of them could pay for dinner or win the whole thing.
Right.
All right, it's always exciting, Dan, when you have that kind of thing going on. Now,
well, I like your Tebow move because, you know, the last five games for Tebow are wonderful. He's got great matchups.
Yeah, but you know what? It's interesting. I was watching NFL Network last night. I was watching their fantasy show, which, by the way, we're much better than those guys.
Oh, we are so much better.
I mean, they're really bad. I'm amazed some of the things they say. They're not even entertaining to watch.
No. I don't even watch those guys.
Yeah, they're really bad. But one of the things that they were talking about Tebow that was interesting, one of the guys said, was that Tebow, the thing about Tebow is, it really doesn't matter his matchup. There's no guaranteeing. Like, they're talking about how Minnesota has given up the most points in the league to quarterbacks, but that's passing quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think this is a very, this Tebow versus Minnesota matchup is very, very interesting, because they crush the run, and they're going to dare him to pass. Now,
well, but I got to tell you something. I've watched every snap Tebow's played the last few weeks, and 2 weeks ago, he was off until it was crunch time and clutch time, and then he completed every pass. This week, I have to tell you something. If it was the first time I ever saw him play, I would think he has a little bit of a funny delivery, but he put the ball on the money consistently all game long. I could not believe it. I was flabbergasted at how accurate he was. So he has it in him.
Well, let's see. I mean, the thing is that at some point you got to feel like the luck's going to run out. At some point, he's going to have to be able to win a game where they come back from two touchdowns.
He's done
game.
It.
At some point, he's going to have to win a game.
He's done it twice.
Where the scores are in the 30s, and we haven't seen him do that yet. I mean, if that defense isn't stifling people the way they have been the last month or so, you know, he's looking at 2-4, not 5-1.
But to the defense's credit, I mean, Von Miller is an absolute all-world stud.
He is.
This kid is just amazing. But a lot of why the defense is playing so well is the way they're running their offense. They're spending a lot of time on the field, keeping the other offense off the field, making it very tough to get rhythm. I mean, the Chargers, they've looked horrible, but Phillip Rivers really looked awful. Denver did it to him.
But Phillip Rivers have looked kind of awful all season.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he threw for 380 yards.
Okay, but
honestly, he looked terrible throwing for 380
yards.
You're
right.
Wasn't
exactly.
A
really
like 380 yards.
Sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not.
It's
just me, a
like
moron.
Kind of like Vince Young throwing for 400 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, Vince Young, well, that's amazing because I had the New England defense in that game, and because of the goal line stance, they only gave up 20 points in all the pickoffs. They were fine. But Vince Young's going to start again tonight against the Seahawks. I think that's a pretty good start for him, actually, because they stopped the run he's going to have to throw.
I think he's going to have a pretty good game.
Well, it's a Rose Bowl rematch, so Pete Carroll's thrown up in
his talk about a couple of things that happened this last week. In fact, I don't know if you guys aren't really paying close attention in the last hour. Donovan McNabb got released this morning.
Yeah.
And I don't think it matters. I don't think he's going to sign anywhere. The only potential place he might sign, I would sign him possibly if I were the Bears.
I would sign him as a backup for the Bears. But then you're talking about team chemistry, you know. And they obviously they believe in Caleb Haney, but,
Well, Caleb Haney, I watched him play, and he's really not so good, but he does run the ball, so for fantasy purposes, he's not awful.
Yeah. There's enough places for him to go. I mean, there are enough mediocre to bad quarterbacks who have, you know, become incapacitated over the next few weeks. You would think that somebody would be willing to.
Why wouldn't you sign him in Jacksonville just as a backup to Gabbert?
There you go.
Because they're trying to sell the team. So
yeah, but the team's sold.
It's just
that's all I agreed to.
It's poison. I mean, McNabb has poisoned his legacy.
Well, he really killed himself with these rumors that he was lazy and out of shape.
Yeah.
Guys?
Yep.
Caleb Haney, TJ Yates, Blaine Gabbert, Tyler Palco. I mean, Dan Orlovsky, those are all starting quarterbacks in the NFL this week.
And it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
It's truly ridiculous. And hey, and you're not even mentioning Christian Ponder.
I'm not.
You know, who is average, who is suspect. I mean, you know, John Skelton until this week. Now Kevin Cobb's going to come back.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot. I mean, Matt Moore in Miami.
Matt Moore is actually a halfway decent quarterback.
Compared to these guys, he's all pro.
Say it again?
I said compared to these guys, he's all pro.
Well, he's good enough.
But I think you're talking about the year of the rookie, which is exciting. I mean, I love DeMarco Murray. I love Torrey Smith. I love Andy Dalton.
I really like watching him play,
and I like A.J. Green. A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, I think, is going to be a combination that's going to be a threat during, you know, throughout the years. And what I'm really liking about Andy Dalton is every week I see him getting better and using more and more of what is available to him. He's starting to really integrate Jermaine Gresham into that offense since Gresham got healthy, and he's looking really good.
Matt Moore is good enough for me to pencil in Brandon Marshall in my lineup every single week with confidence.
Agreed. I think that Moore has done an adequate job. I wouldn't feel comfortable with him as a fantasy starter, but I feel comfortable with him as to what he means for the other skill players on the team.
No, but a lot of these other guys we've been discussing are getting their number one receivers are getting killed by the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that right now. In fact, that's a good segue. Dan, let's discuss the Chiefs. You're there.
Sorry, Dan.
Now, what happened, by the way, on that Tyler Palco to Dwayne Bowe shot at the end of the game? I mean, I really, when I saw it in real time, it didn't look like bad at all.
Did you watch the replay?
Yeah, I mean, what was he going to do? Go up with two arms and try to make some kind of circus catch in between five guys?
Hold on. The answer to that is yes. Try. Try being the key word.
Okay.
Try to put your hands up in the hopes that maybe you'll disrupt somebody's vision, tip a ball, do something, then cower in fear. I saw cowering in fear.
So what does it mean for him this week?
Well, ask the chief guy.
What do you say, chief guy?
I say you guys would absolutely be in hysterics if you listened to the radio because Todd Haley came out and said that Palco is the starter.
Which is ridiculous.
We have people calling up the radio stations here in town. If Tyler Palco starts this game, they're going to cancel their season tickets for next year.
Yeah,
that's how bad. We got Kyle Orton sitting there. And, hey, Orton is no, you know, Brady.
Orton's a professional quarterback.
Orton is a professional quarterback, and I guarantee you if Orton had started that game last week against Pittsburgh without the, you know, three interceptions and one fumble by Palco, we might have beaten the Steelers at home.
The defense looked outstanding.
Dan, is there any talk out there that the problem is not Tyler Palco but Todd Haley?
No, in that case, it's Palco. Listen, Palco is he's a clipboard carrier. I mean, he's the guy that runs the scout team for the, you know, the actual people that should be on the field.
But why do you even have a guy like that on your roster if you know he can't play for you when you need it?
Well, why
that
are
is why Todd Haley and Scott Pioli, the general manager, are coming under fire. Because
that's the Chiefs
are 27 million under the cap. And we're sitting here as fans that are paying, you know, $2,000 for season tickets, like, why do you have $27 million under the cap and you're running out crap like Tyler Palco?
Look, yeah. I watch the Chiefs games, and you cannot get through a Chiefs broadcast, whether it's on the TV or the radio, without hearing about how they've, justifiably so, been decimated by injuries this season with Jamaal Charles and Dish's guy Tony Moiaki. I get it, and I know there have been some defensive injuries on injuries on both sides of the ball, but they've still got a chance to win some games if they put a viable quarterback back there.
Hello, they're still in the playoff hunt. Their division stinks.
That's why I don't understand why we're seeing another week of Tyler Palka.
I don't understand it either. It's hubris on the coach trying to make the guy earn it. But at this point, what's really important is it's time for Matt's Musical Stylings. When we come back from the break, we're going to play the interrogation game, tell you who to sit, who to start for your team.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, well, this woman in Gracie's movie apparently has done some nudity in a movie called The Big Old-Fashioned Orgy or something like that. Very exciting, guys. She's a very attractive girl.
Well, you know, we both said over on the 7.
Hotness. Yeah, I'd have to say 8.5, 9.
Yeah.
I have to say 8.5 or 9.
Okay, but anyway,
moving on to football. The Chief, you wanted to say one last thing about the Chiefs, Dan?
Oh, I just was going to tell people there's a stink right now that Todd Haley came out and said that Palko is still the starter, but I will be absolutely stunned if when the ball is kicked off in Chicago this weekend if Orton's not behind center. So,
yeah, I don't see how he cannot be the starting quarterback there when you still are competing for a playoff spot.
Well, and I think, let's be honest, you know, Carson Palmer went out there and he had only been with the team for 4 days. And yes, they say, well, he knows Hugh Jackson's offense. Well, he and Hugh Jackson were together back in what, like 2004, 2005. So, you know, and Palmer is a good, solid quarterback. And, you know, he threw 3 interceptions that first game, but then the next week he threw for 300 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's, listen, the big thing is, what does this mean you're probably not going to start Orton or Paco this week no matter what.
No.
So what does it mean for Dwayne Bowe, Jonathan Baldwin, Jackie Battle, Dexter McCluster? Are any of those four guys worth a start?
The only one I would start is Bowe, simply because no matter who is back there, they have to throw it to Bowe. And I think Bowe has got the size on the Chicago secondary that he'll at least go up. And in a PPR league,
no
Bowe will get six or seven catches.
There's no guarantee that he's going to go up.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's true. He did. He demonstrated that last week, didn't he?
Yeah, so, okay, let's get into the quarterbacks now, the crystal ball rankings. For those of you following at home, go to the Fantasy Insights homepage, click on Weekly Home, and then click on Crystal Ball Rankings. It'll call up your rankings. This week we've got Aaron Rodgers, top again, no surprise, Brady, Breeze, and our fourth-ranked quarterback this week against a very soft Arizona defense I've got with 300 yards and three touchdowns, Tony Romo. Is that too optimistic? I've got him ahead of Stafford, Newton, Roethlisberger, and Tebow.
No.
I think he's perfect where he is.
Love Romo.
Yeah.
Love him.
And actually, right, so guys, I got an email from one of our listeners, Jamie in Parkville, Missouri. So he's here in my town. He wants to know if he should start Tony Romo or Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, based on our rankings and our conversation, it's got to be Romo. I mean, all things being equal, you take the guy playing the worst defense. Romo's at Arizona, one of the worst in the league. And Roethlisberger is against Cincinnati, one of the better defenses in the league. Not to mention, things aren't all equal. Romo's been outperforming Roethlisberger all year long, so I think Romo's the clear starter there.
I think when DeMarco Murray sort of took over in Dallas, it just rejuvenated Tony Romo. Laurent Robinson has been great. I know Miles Austin may come back this week, although it doesn't look like it's going to happen. He's reconnected with Jason Witten. He's hitting a very high percentage of his passes. Obviously, I like Romo better at home, but I roll the dice with that guy.
It all comes down to DeMarco Murray.
Romo.
All right, so now moving along, we've got Tim Tebow 8th, ahead of Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, who I still have 10th. 272 yards and two touchdowns against Jacksonville. That seems reasonable, doesn't it?
It's a little high to me for
really,
Philip Rivers.
Really, Philip Rivers, you think 270 yards and two TDs is too much?
I think
how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, that's it exactly. I think the 2010 Philip Rivers, it's probably too low.
Come on. The 2010 Philip Rivers that haven't projected 320 and three touchdowns.
Exactly, and I think this year by now we're in week 13. I mean, really. Last week they were, well, what's wrong with Philip Rivers?
All right,
he's
well,
having a bad year.
We start our interrogation game, Dan. Do you start Philip Rivers ahead of Matt Ryan at Houston?
Because
ahead of Vince Young at Seattle?
Yeah, I really like Vince Young.
So Joe Flacco at Cleveland?
I would start Rivers over Flacco for sure. Cleveland's got a very good pass defense.
Kevin, let's take a listen to you. With Philip Rivers 10th, the guys right behind him are Matt Ryan, Vince Young, Joe Flacco, and then Fitzpatrick and Palmer. Any of those guys that I mentioned a better start this week than Philip Rivers?
I like Young and Ryan better than Rivers.
Okay, and then Smitty, I'm told you just joined the call. What do you say?
I agree with Kevin. I think Ryan is good. The thing that people forget is that with T.J. Yates, Houston's going to turn the ball over, and Atlanta's going to get some quick strikes there, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that's better for the running game, although you are correct about that. Ryan will be playing on a short field all day. Okay, so moving along, I've got Carson Palmer ranked 15th. The guys that he is immediately behind are Young, Flacco, and Fitzpatrick. The guys he's immediately ahead of are Freeman, Sanchez, Hasselbeck. Did I get that right, Dan?
Well, Freeman, I think we need to drop because he's suddenly come up with an injured thumb.
Well, they haven't ruled him out yet.
Yeah, but he may be handing it off to LeGarrette Blount most of the game.
Well, yeah, the Carolina defense is awful. So Josh Johnson, so maybe we'll downgrade Freeman. So then let's add Kevin Cobb to the mix, who's coming back this week. Carson Palmer is just behind Flacco and Fitzpatrick, just ahead of Sanchez, Hasselbeck, and Cobb. Your thoughts, Kev?
I think Carson Palmer has been wonderful since he's been back. He's made the most of what he's got, even though he's had some injuries at receiver. I still like Vince Young better than either Rivers or Palmer, but everybody else you mentioned, I think I like Palmer better than.
Over under Palmer on 260 yards and two TDs.
I think he'll throw for somewhere between, you know, 250 and 300, and two TDs sounds about right.
Okay, Smitty, your thoughts on this situation?
I think he's up against the tough defense at Miami, so
yeah.
I would downgrade Palmer. I see him more about 200 yards and one TD for sure, maybe not two.
Okay, now Kevin Cobb comes back this weekend. In two quarterback leagues, he's one of the top 24. So it comes down to, would you start Kevin Cobb over these three guys? Andy Dalton, who's right behind him at Pittsburgh, Rex Grossman against the Jets, or Alex Smith playing against St. Louis. Smitty, did I get that right? Is Kevin Cobb better play this week than Andy Dalton, Rex Grossman, or Smith?
I wouldn't start Kevin Cobb over you, Dish. I just think, he's been a bust, and if you care this week, that means you're vying for your fantasy playoffs. Dallas is playing pretty tough. Cobb does not make the field for me.
Okay, so then what you're talking about is starting somebody who's out of our top 24.
Yep.
So of these guys, who do you put in instead of them?
What was the three again, real quick?
Caleb Haney, Colt McCoy, Matt Moore, Christian Ponder.
Matt Moore.
Yeah, I guess Moore's the best of that lot. And now apparently Sam Bradford has shown up with an injury.
Yeah, and here's another thing. Let me real quick on that Christian Ponder thing. That's Florida State versus Florida. I think Ponder fires up and has a pretty good game, having heard a little too much from about Tebow.
I would think you were right if Ponder had the talent necessary to be a stud in the NFL, but he doesn't.
He can get the ball to Harvin.
Nah.
I mean, Harvin's playing right now. He'll get a touchdown or two.
Harvin's playing great, and Ponder might do okay, but we'll see. We'll see where it comes out. Let's move on to running backs. Arian Foster, even though he's playing with T.J. Yates, the quarterback, and they're going to pack the box against that tough Atlanta D, I still have him as the number one back this week. I don't think there's anybody you can start ahead of him. DeMarco Murray, I've got number two against that Arizona defense. Again, last week you guys told me I had him too high. I moved him down. You were right. But this week I'm standing by him. At Arizona, I've got him for 93 rushing, 25 receiving, and he hasn't been in the end zone in 2 weeks, so I think he's going to get in the end zone. It's pretty good odds. I got Frank Gore, number three, against that horrible St. Louis defense coming off a dreadful performance against Baltimore in a loss. Matt Forte, Ray Rice, Michael Bush again, LeSean McCoy, who it looks like he is going to play, but a tough Seattle rushing D. And then I got Maurice Jones-Drew at the eighth spot, and right behind him I've got somebody I hate to put here. He might even be too low. I've got Marshawn Lynch, number nine.
Yeah, he does bite, but he's getting it done.
He's been in the end zone 7 weeks in a row, and I could tell you, I played against him this week, and he was the one guy on the other team I was scared of the entire game.
Yeah,
he keeps putting
touches. I lost
him
because of playing against Lynch. Just bitter.
Yeah. He's one of those guys, they say he can't repeat it, and he's doing it every week. Now, right behind him, I have Chris Johnson, LeGarrette Blount against that Carolina sieve, and then Ryan Matthews against the Jacksonville defense, which is tough. So between Marshawn Lynch, Chris Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, and Ryan Matthews, is Marshawn Lynch a better start than Chris Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, and Ryan Matthews, Smitty?
I like Blount better. I think you're underrating Blount a little bit, especially with the Freeman situation and the porous Carolina rush D. So I would move Blount ahead of those guys.
And what do you say, Kevin?
Well, I like Blount a lot too, but I would go with CJ. I can't, you know, bite my tongue, but there's just too much talent there to be ignored. He's coming off two good games over the last 3 weeks, and hope that he shows up. I mean, if you got to roll the dice for a big game, I like Chris Johnson.
Okay, and Dan, what about you, Chris Johnson?
I don't completely trust him.
I'm sorry.
I'd roll the dice with him.
Okay, Chris Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, Ryan Matthews. Any of those three guys a better start than Marshawn Lynch?
Playing it safe would be to play LeGarrette Blount. I'm kind of like Kevin. I want to believe that CJ is back, but I will tell our listeners that if they read the weekly report, that Todd Colburn, our defensive guru, who lives, you know, Tennessee is his team, he doesn't even believe in CJ. So take that for what it's worth, but I would go Blount and then CJ, basically.
I agree with Dan. I think Blunt's a safer play. He's gone over 100 3 weeks in a row. No reason to think against Carolina he won't make it four. And CJ's not the same. He's not what he was a couple
of
years
ago. No, he's not. There was one play in particular in the game I was watching where last year he easily would have gone all the way around the outside to the corner and had the touchdown. This time he went out of bounds at the 21.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along. Chris Wells, Beanie, comes in at 14. I've moved Mendenhall down to 15.
Rashard Mendenhall below Beanie Wells, ahead of Steven Jackson and McGahee. Jackson only because he's at San Francisco. Is Mendenhall placed right, Smitty, ahead of Jackson and McGahee and just behind Beanie Wells and Michael Turner?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, he's not having a great year, but I can't disagree with that too much this time.
All right, guys. When we come back from Matt's Musical Stylings, we're going to talk more about the running backs, and then we'll get into the receivers and the tight ends as we prepare everybody for game day, a couple hours away from the game. Get your Roy Helu hats on, guys. We're going to talk about him a little bit and where he fits in the grand scheme of things.
Fantasy, I don't have a Roy Helu hat.
Styling. I have a Helu hat. You don't have a Helu hat?
No.
Just a halo.
Ay, candela, candela.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
I'm trying to remember who I went for in the challenge this week. I know I said don't go with Donald Brown. He was like, he's actually a nightmare, not a dream. I said that C.J. Spiller was sort of like the Thanksgiving ham. He was like a nice accompaniment. You just don't want to have to depend on him as the main course. and I can't remember who the receiver was. I said he was like sort of like your aunt's green bean casserole. He's hit or miss. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's awful.
Yeah, probably Mike Wallace.
Wallace,
sounds like
no,
every
just had a bad
receiver
game
on my team.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk real quickly. Let's get through some more running backs. Roy Helu. They play the Jets this week.
Hello.
He clearly is the lead back there now. I mean, had a great, great game last week. In fact, that touchdown run with the hurdle and the spin was amazing. He's a talented back. I've got him this week number 20, just behind Sproles and Benson, just ahead of Green Ellis and Sean Green. Kevin, is Helu in the right spot?
I'd start him over all those guys.
Would you start him over McGahee?
Sproles doesn't get enough touches. Benson gets too many touches and doesn't do enough with them.
McGahee?
Say it again?
McGahee.
Would you start him over McGahee?
If McGahee is healthy, I would start him over Helu.
Would you start him over Steven Jackson?
I don't like Steven Jackson's matchup.
Would you start him over Mendenhall?
No.
Chris Wells?
No.
Michael Turner?
No.
Okay, so now, Fantasy Insights, I have him ranked 20th. I would start him over all the guys I just asked.
What?
I personally would start him over all the guys that we just mentioned. I think Helu's
I don't trust him
back
that much. Yeah. I mean, I love if he's not catching passes, I don't know how effective he is.
I think he's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield against the Jets.
He's going to have to because he's not going to run for a lot of yards.
Now, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis all of a sudden has been coming on. Reggie Bush has been in decline. Now, Maurice Morris looks like he's going to get another start because Kevin Smith is limited in practice. But the guy I want to talk about is a guy that I actually am a little bit high on, and that is C.J. Spiller. And the reason I'm high on him
is because he's a Thanksgiving ham.
You know what? He blocked like a ham bone. He knocked somebody on their butt when I was watching in pass coverage.
But you don't get points for that.
Yeah, but it keeps you in the ball game and
That's
gets
right.
you more touches.
He's in every down.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's in every down now because he's picking up the blitz. And because of that, I like him. I only have him for 30, a little over 30 rushing, a little over 30 receiving, and a touchdown.
Then you don't like him that much.
No, if it's 20, hey, Kev, you'd be amazed. That, based on averages, that makes him the 24th ranked back. That means he's a starter in every two-team league.
Yep.
That
every
counts on him
league,
getting
rather.
The touchdown, though. I loved this kid coming out of college.
Me too.
Loved
him.
And he has not shown me anything in the pros.
Did you watch him last week by chance?
He's got a good burst. I'm agreeing with Dish on this.
I have to admit, I did not see the game last week.
Kev.
But
had I not seen him play, I would be saying the exact same things that you're saying. But I actually watched that game, and they did not lose that game because Fred Jackson wasn't there. They lost that game because the Jets just beat them. C.J. Spiller did a great job in the passing game. He had a couple of really nice receptions. He was fine between the tackles. He was moving the pile. He was picking up his blocks. And, Smitty, you said it. He had a great burst. I really, really liked him.
Yeah.
And
one more bonus.
He's another tough defense this week in Tennessee. I still like him going forward.
Yeah, there's a bonus with him. If you're in an ESPN league, amazingly enough, they have him listed as running back and wide receiver. And I never trust wide receivers. You can slot as starting running back as a wide receiver.
That's big.
That's why you come and tune into this show.
Now, Percy Harvin's the same situation, basically, because he's getting snaps, but it's the opposite.
Yeah, but they don't give him that one. I wish they did.
Now, Peyton Hillis is back. He played pretty well last week, but we've got him 27th this week, and that's because he plays the Baltimore defense, and he's just not one of those scat backs. At 27, he's just ahead of Tolbert, Ingram, and Gerhardt, and Donald Brown, and he's just behind Maurice Morris and Brandon Jacobs. Would you start Hillis over Morris or Jacobs, Smitty?
No, I sure would. Jacobs, I think, still gets a start unless Bradshaw comes back. Morris is going to get a ton of little dump-offs. New Orleans is going to destroy Detroit, but just to stay in it, I mean, Morris is going to have a good game, and Hillis just not going to have a good day against the Ravens.
You agree with that, Dan?
I'd give Morris a slight edge. I think Hillis is going to be, it's going to be one of those games where they have to give him the ball 30 times for him to get 90 yards. So, you know.
All right, Kevin, the Green
Bay.
Well,
hold on. Let me talk on that one. The problem with that one is, A, Kevin Smith has not been ruled out of that game yet.
Right.
He did practice today, so I don't think Morris is a
too
sure
bad.
Thing.
He looks so good, too.
The problem with Hillis is that he's got, even if you make it to the championship of your fantasy game, three of his next four games are against Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Good luck with Hillis.
All right, so before we move on to the receivers, because we're getting short on time, Brandon Sane on Green Bay is my flex play of the week. Thoughts? Smitty?
Don't know who that is.
Kev?
Don't know who that is.
Dan?
Assuming that Starks misses the game and Ryan Grant does what Ryan Grant usually does, I would not play him, Stane. You know, that's just me, but he'll get a few fantasy points.
Now, Dan, I'm looking
you're
at this.
Him in, you're in
Grant
deep trouble.
Yeah, you're not making your playoffs.
Yeah, I have Sane and Grant together on the report, and it says that Grant's in Indianapolis. You missed another one of my mistakes. Okay, let's go to the receivers. The receivers, Andre Johnson is back. I've slotted him 12th, right behind Colston, Dez Bryant, and Steve Smith. Right ahead of Hakeem Nicks, Vincent Jackson, and Laurent Robinson. Kevin, is Andre Johnson the 12th best receiver fantasy-wise this week? Is that too low or too high?
Nope, too high.
Too high?
Too high.
Okay, and that is a function of T.J. Yates?
Yes.
Smitty?
I don't think the guy's 100% in shape either.
Yeah, that's a tough start. It's just brutal, but I'd start those other guys ahead of him.
Wow, Dan?
Yes, very high at number 12, but Yates has literally nobody else to throw to except Owen Daniels. So just if Houston throws the ball 20 times, you know, Andre Johnson's going to get probably 15 of those targets.
Yeah, he may be throwing to Arian Foster. That's what you got
to
remember.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so you look, Stevie Johnson with his celebration making fun of Burris. A little bit of much. Jordy Nelson, A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, Torrey Smith, Victor Cruz. Is Victor Cruz a better start than Torrey Smith or Antonio Brown this week, Smitty?
Cruz is a good start. A.J. Green is a decent start, even against Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I guess I agree with you.
All right, rapid fire. Kev?
I can make the argument that Victor Cruz is the best start of the week.
Huh.
That's a good argument. I'd like to hear you make it when we have more time sometime. Dan, Victor Cruz, Percy Harvin, or Brandon Lloyd?
Victor Cruz. Packers give up the seventh most points to wide receivers.
All right, getting down to the flex spots. Is Eric Decker. Sorry, I'm thinking of Kevin, and we're almost out of time. So the last guy, Eric Decker, is he worth a flex start, Kev?
Not on my team. I just, you know, I watch Tebow, and I find somebody else.
Smitty?
Yeah, same here. You can't do that. I mean, just, you know, diving for balls thrown 5 feet away from him, no.
There's no yak.
There's no yak.
No, there's no yak. There's yak off the carpet.
We are moving into the conclusion, so on the tight ends, I'm just going to throw out that I really like my man Kendricks. Jermaine Gresham this week.
Lance Kendricks.
Kendricks.
Yay. I know my tight ends, I just don't know one. All right, Jermaine Gresham, that's my call of the week for your flex start. In any event, it's been another week of Fantasy Insights Radio. The Seahawks and the Eagles, the Warbirds, if you will, coming up tonight. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday. We'll see you next week.
Hey, tight end, start Brent Celek if you got him tonight.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.